Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. Or if you can't make it in person, you could always join our live stream. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream, chat, offer up prayers, fellowship with other believers. And if you miss those two opportunities, you can always go to our YouTube channel at theseedchristianfellowship.com and click on our complete worship service or our children's message or our weekly sermons. It is our prayer that we will all come together in the love of Christ and shine His light and love into our world. The mission of the Seed is to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Christ Jesus, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith in our families, our workplaces, and in the world. If you're joining us for the first time, we welcome you. We're doing a series on some of the old hymns of the church. Last week, we looked at that old hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. What a wonderful hymn filled with the powerful promises of God. Even when we are faithless, our God remains faithful. Great is Thy Faithfulness has a wonderful foundation on those wonderful words of life found in Lamentations chapter 3. When the prophet Jeremiah writes, Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him. Today, we're going to talk about another great hymn, How Great Thou Art. This song has been sung in worship services, in churches, at big and small revivals, around campfires, and even at funerals. How Great Thou Art proclaims the greatness of God from nature to personal salvation. Maybe a few so what questions before we jump into our message is how is God great to you? When is God great for you? Why is God great? What does God's greatness look like to you? I always like to do so what questions because we need to put ourselves in the story and put the story in us. Before we turn to God's word, let us come to the greatness of God's throne of grace and pray. Lord God of all creation, we stand in awe today and every day at the sunrises and sunsets. We praise You for Your greatness of saving us from ourselves and this world. Come, Holy Spirit, teach us today what You would want us to learn. We come again to hear the soft sound of the sandaled feet of our Messiah, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Our passage today comes from the early book of the Bible called the Book of Psalms. Psalm 145 is, well, it's a monumental hymn of praise. It is the last of King David's Psalms. It's an acrostic psalm with each stanza beginning with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. This is a way they taught their children the alphabet, and they taught them about God's greatness. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet that which go in sequence, just like our would be A, B, C, D, E, the F, G, you know, I can do the alphabet for you. But it would be Aleph and Bet and Gimel and Dalet and so on through the Hebrew alphabet. In most cases, the Hebrew text that we're going to read, it's missing the verse for none, which is why the psalm only has 21 verses instead of 22. But many scholars say that one of the verses really is two verses, and it has that in there. But let's listen to God's word of praise, and let us praise Him for His greatness. Psalm 145. The psalmist says, I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. Verse 8 and 9, two of my favorites. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all, and he has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his promises and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up those who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praises of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Psalm 145. Well, today's inspiring hymn of praise and adoration reminds us of God's unlimited power and love in creation and redemption. Although written in the past century, the hymn has become familiar to congregations, well, really since the close of World War II, and especially because it was an international favorite after the Billy Graham evangelistic team used it in their crusades during the late 1940s and the early 1950s. The original text was written by a Swedish pastor by the name of Carl Boberg in 1886. While visiting a beautiful country estate, Boberg was caught in a sudden thunderstorm. The awesome and violent lightning and thunder quickly ended, leaving clear, brilliant sunshine and the calm singing, sweet singing of the birds in the trees. Falling on his knees in awe and adoration of Almighty God, the pastor wrote 9 stanzas of praise. Swedish congregations began to sing his lines to one of their old folk tunes. The text was later translated into German and Russian, ultimately into English, by the Reverend S.K. Hine and his wife, English missionaries to the people of the Ukraine. They were missionaries there. But then war broke out in 1939 in the Ukraine, and it was necessary for the Hines to return to Britain, where Mr. Hine added the 4th stanza to this hymn. These 4 stanzas by Stuart Hine have ministered and inspired God's people everywhere. I won't sing you the song, but I will read the words. Many of you already know them. How great thou art, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, I hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. And then when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. What a wonderful word. The first three stanzas of Psalm 145, they teach us about worship. When we think of God and his greatness, what is it that we can give to God? The only thing that we can give to God is our praise and our worship. In the first three verses, they're very nearly parallel. The first three verses have these parallel lines that say, I will praise you. I will praise you every day. I will praise you forever and ever. Let's look at those real quickly. I will praise you. Praise is worship. It is acknowledging God to be what God truly is. God is sovereign. He's the sovereign Lord of all creation. God is holy. God is just, righteous, merciful, awesome, and majestic. God is with us forever and ever. Worship is not coming to God to get things from God. Worship is not even confessing our sins or pleading for grace, though these flow from worship naturally. Worship is simple, but so difficult for so many. Worship is acknowledging God to be God. Indeed, it is doing precisely what David does in the remainder of this psalm. Number two, he says, I will praise you every day. David is not going to praise God merely on the Sabbath, though the seventh day, which we call the day of rest, Sunday, that's what it's set aside for. Rather, David is going to praise God every day. He's going to praise God Monday through Sunday. Wow, what a profound statement, especially in a culture today when so many people are disconnecting from church and worship of God. He says that I will praise you forever and ever. Forever and ever means more than merely to the end of my days until I die. It means forever, indicating David's belief he would be worshiping God in heaven even after his worship on earth was ended. Friends, the good news is that we will be worshiping God forever and ever along with the other redeemed saints from all other ages of world history. So what question is then, why don't we practice worshiping God now? Great question. Why don't we practice worshiping God now? If we were to break down this wonderful psalm, and we don't have all the time today to do that, you could say that David praises God for his greatness in verses 5 through 7, but he doesn't stop just praising God for greatness, and he praises God for his grace, verses 8 through 13, and then for God's faithfulness in 13 through 16, and then for God's righteousness in verses 17 to 20. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we're blessed that you're listening. If you need prayer, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon, and our prayer team will pray for you. We've been studying the greatness of God, how great thou art. The Hebrew word for great is gadol, G-A-D-O-L, gadol. And it's an adjective used to describe who God is. The word can be translated with words like great, good, wonderful, excellent, out of the ordinary, remarkable, large, important, and high. 12 times in the Bible, the adjective is used to describe God. In the book of Deuteronomy, the Israelites were sitting on the edge of the Promised Land, and Moses tried to remind them of all the great and marvelous things that God had done. Listen to these words from Moses in Deuteronomy 7, verse 21. Do not be terrified by them, for the Lord your God, who is among you, is great and awesome God. Wow. Who here today needs to hear that? I don't know where you're at in your life. I don't know what you're afraid of. I don't know what's happening in your family or in your life, in your workplace, in your school. Well, we know what's happening in the world: inflation, COVID, war, and rumors of war. We're reminded that we are to look up and see the greatness of God. David uses the adjective to describe God several times in the Psalms. I don't have time to read all of them, but listen to Psalm 86:10, when David says, "For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God." Or Psalm 95, he says, "For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the flock under his care. Psalm 95, verses 3 to 7. In his book, With, Sky Jathani describes a mausoleum in Galla Placidia in Italy. 1,500 years ago, the emperor of Rome built a tomb for his beloved sister. The small building was designed in the shape of a cross, with a vaulted ceiling covered with mosaics of swirling stars in the sky. The focal point of the mosaic ceiling was a depiction of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, surrounded by sheep in an emerald paradise. The mausoleum of Galla Placidia still stands in Ravenna, Italy, and it has been called, quote, the earliest and best preserved of all mosaic monuments, unquote. One of the most artistically perfect. But visitors who have admired the mosaics and travel books will be disappointed when they enter the mausoleum. The structure has only tiny windows, and what light does enter in is usually blocked by a mass of tourists. The most artistically perfect mosaic monument, the inspiring vision of the Good Shepherd in a starry paradise, it is hidden behind a veil of darkness. But the impatient who leave the chapel will miss a stunning unveiling. With no advance notice, spotlights near the ceiling are turned on when a tourist finally manages to drop a coin into a small metal box along the wall. The lights illuminate the iridescent tiles of the mosaic, but only for a few seconds. One visitor described the experience, quote, the lights come on for a brief moment, the briefest of moments. The eye does not have time to take it all in. The eye cast about the dull, hot darkness overhead because of the starry host, a dark blue cupola with huge shimmering stars with seems startling close. Ah, comes the sound from below. And then the light goes out, and again there's darkness. Darker even than before. The bright burst of illumination is repeated over and over again, divided by darkness and of unpredictable length. Each time the light comes on, the visitors are given another glimpse of the world behind the shadows, and their eyes capture another element previously unseen. Deer drinking from the springs, Jesus gently reaching out his hand to the sheep that look lovingly at their shepherd. After seeing the mosaic, one visitor wrote, I have never seen anything so sublime in my life. Makes you want to cry. What is the greatest thing that you have ever seen or experienced? You can write me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. I believe the greatest act, greatest work, or the greatest deed that God has done is to send his one and only son, Jesus, into the world to save sinners like me and you. Verses 8 and 9 are my favorite in Psalm 145. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. These verses are nearly a perfect echo of God's revelation of himself to Moses on Mount Sinai, recorded in Exodus 34:6. In Exodus 34:6 is the most often quoted verse in the Old Testament, well, with good reason, for it speaks of mercy, and mercy is the amazing, utterly surprising thing about God. Moses goes on the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. God reveals himself to Moses by saying these words, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands. Wow, Exodus 34:6 and 7. This is the good news. This is the greatest news. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Well, as a pastor over the past 25 years, these words have set so many people free to worship him. To find the grace of God in Jesus Christ, well, that sets people free. Just recently, there was an article in some of the Christian newsletters about a man who found the church who founded the Church of Satan in South Africa. He recently came to know Jesus when Jesus came to him and showed him his hands and told him that he loved him. It's a powerful story of experiencing the unconditional love of Jesus. The greatest act of God's love is to be gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. Dr. Rosalind Picard, founder and director of the Effective Research Group at MIT, was once convinced that she did not need God or religion, so she declared herself an atheist and dismissed believers as uneducated. But as an educated person, she figured at least she should read the Bible. Picard said, "When I first opened the Bible, I expected to find phony miracles and assorted gobbledygook, and to my surprise, the book of Proverbs was full of wisdom, and I had to pause while reading and think." She read through the entire Bible twice, she said. "I felt this strange sense of being spoken to. Part of me was increasingly eager to spend time with the God of the Bible, but an irritated voice inside me insisted I would be happy again once I moved on." In college, another student invited her to his church. The pastor got her attention when he asked, "Who is the Lord of your life?" She said, "I was intrigued. I was the captain of my ship. But was it possible that God would actually be willing to lead me?" After praying, "Jesus Christ, I ask you to be Lord of my life," she said, her world changed dramatically, as if a flat black and white existence suddenly turned full color and three-dimensional. But in her own words, she said, I lost nothing of my urge to seek new knowledge. In fact, I felt emboldened to ask even tougher questions about how the world works. Today, I work closely with people whose lives are filled with medical struggles. I do not have adequate answers to explain all their suffering, but I know that there is a God. I know that there is a God, the God of unfathomable greatness and love, who freely enters into relationships with all who confess their sins and call upon his name. She wrote, "I once thought I was too smart to believe in God. Now I know I was an arrogant fool who snubbed the greatest mind in all the cosmos, the author of all science, art, and everything else there is to know. Today I walk with joy alongside the most amazing companion anyone could ask for, filled with the desire to keep learning and exploring." So what? So what do we do with all this information I just gave you? God is great and greatly to be praised. God's greatness is unsearchable. But when God shines his grace and mercy into our darkness, it's like lighting up the ceiling in the mausoleum of Gala Placidia in Ravenna. We get glimpses of the Good Shepherd reaching out to save his lost sheep. We praise the greatness of God when we come to a saving knowledge of his unconditional love. As we sing, "How great thou art," when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart, then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, "My God, how great thou art." Then sings my soul, "My Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art." Then sings my soul, "My Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art." Let us pray. Lord God of all creation, we come to you today and we give thanks for your great grace. And we ask that we would always sing, "How great thou art." Amen. I want you to know that God loves you. And so do I. Have a blessed day. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.